It means the blinking orange light is actually Larry Weber. Hey, Larry, good morning. Good to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you, and good morning. Good morning to you, too. This is April 21. When I was in middle school eons ago, we used to refer to the days between the 20th and the 30th of August as the sad days, because school was coming. It was nothing we could do to stop it. And summer was winding down, and there was nothing we could do to stop it. So it was the sad days. Well, I now don't see them as sad days. I see them as absolutely remarkable days. They are just filled with things going on. We passed the threshold yesterday of 14 hours of daylight, and that continues to shrink as we head towards, only a month away, as we head towards the autumnal equinox. And, of course, that means many things. In the world of nature, when the days start getting shorter like this, there is migration. And migration is happening. Hawkridge began the count this week. There have been rather slow days so far, but there were some days where there was one day of over 300 Broadway hawks. And there's bald eagles and so forth. So there are migrants that are moving on in the raptors. I see and hear Canada geese every day now. And then, of course, there are the smaller birds, the warblers. Virtually every day I see some sort of a warbler wave passing through. They don't seem to be in any hurry. They seem to be mostly feeding, but they are getting ready to move on. So migration time, and migration time happens with other critters, too. If you've been seeing the flight of monarchs lately, those are probably migrants. When it gets to be this time of year and you see adult monarchs, they most likely are. I say most likely because there could still be some breeding ones, but most likely, no, they are the migrants as well. And plenty else going on. I hope you had a chance on one of these nights to get out and see Jupiter and Saturn. They are spectacular right now, and we are at the new moon phase. We are also two-thirds of the way through the wonderful month of August. And awesome August so far has been a little warmer than normal and slightly less precipitation than normal. Now, that could change. According to the forecast tonight, that could change. We are getting other happenings as well. There was an article in the paper this week about the bear, nuisance bear situation, how bears' complaints have been up. And then it went on to say that that was due to the poor berry crop earlier in the summer. If you remember earlier in the summer, June was hot and dry, and that made an impact on the berry crop, which, of course, made an impact on the bears, and the bears are hungry, so they may go elsewhere. In my own neighborhood here, we have a good crop of blackberries and chokecherries. And I'm hoping the bears will be satisfied with that because we have not had any nuisance whatsoever. I saw a couple of fawns this week, and they were still spotted, and they were still with mama. But the season is moving on for them as well. The frogs have been interesting lately. I have mentioned this before, how when we get to late summer, there's a couple of frogs that spend most of their life on land. They go to the water in spring to breed, but then they come back and spend most of their life on land. And they start calling again in late summer. Gray tree frogs are the most obvious. And even though we call them gray tree frogs, the ones we see in late summer are usually going to be green, and they are not opposed to climbing up on the sides of houses. And that's sometimes the places we'll see them the most. And then the spring peepers are calling again. I heard it again yesterday. Besides monarchs, there's still plenty of other butterflies out there. One that I've been seeing on a regular basis lately has been the cabbage white butterfly. It's one of our few butterflies that's an alien, but they're common in yards. Grasshoppers and locusts are still common. Crickets are calling. Hornets are fantastic. I've been watching a big hornet nest by the house. They are not hives, as a lot of people call them. They are nests, and they are built for the sake of raising families. and there's a bunch of young inside, and those young have to get fed. So the young are fed by the workers. The workers go out, and no, they don't go out to sting us. They go out to gather food, which is usually insects, and they bring it home, and they're such dedicated workers that even chew it up to give it to their young. Now, that's been going on for the last several weeks. Now, as we get later in the season, there is not going to be another crop of young. And so the workers are going to kind of disperse. And that's when we sometimes see them where we don't appreciate them. And they seem to enjoy or seem to like sweet-tasting things. And when I pick blackberries, I have often seen these worker hornets out there as well. But nevertheless, that's an interesting thing going on. In a few weeks, that nest will be completely empty. The only survivor of it will be the queen. And the rest of them, the workers, will eventually all die in the colder weather. Other insect news of note is the dragonflies. We get late in the season, we have large darners, and we have small meadowhawks. And the meadowhawks have been really interesting. Males are red. There are several species of them. And the females might be kind of a yellowish-brown, but I've been seeing those every day. And, of course, Lisa, cannot talk about late August without talking about spiders. This is such a fabulous spider time. We are going to go for the next 3 weeks at least with just terrific, terrific spider watching time. It is a day like today where we have a fog or we have a dew as we had a couple of days ago. Those drops settle down on the webs and they make for spectacular photogenic opportunities. I suggest anybody who wants to see some terrific webs get out there and take a look. It is terrific. Where I go, I can walk towards the rising sun and therefore get backlit views of these webs. But they are amazing. On my walk I just got done with here, I found each of the four different type of spider webs, and they're very easy to see being coated in dew and fog like they were, and just excellent. You don't have to appreciate the spider to appreciate the web. They're just excellent. Also excellent right now is goldenrods. This is amazing goldenrod time. Unfortunately, there's a mentality out there that goldenrods cause you to get allergy, hay fever, and everything. That's not true. It is the ragweed that actually causes it. All we have to do is think a little bit of that to tell us that the goldenrod is not the culprit. And why do I say it? Well, it's because they are yellow. Why are they yellow? They want to attract insects, and they attract myriads of insects. And why do they want to do that? Because their pollen will not blow in the wind. It has to be carried by the insects. Therefore, we're not going to breathe it in. The myriads of insects are just that. They are abundant. I used to walk by goldenrod patches and just listen to the buzz of a number of kinds of insects. There's bees and wasps and flies and on and on and on. It's just amazing the number. I always, when I was teaching Master Naturalist class, I always told my students, don't let the goldenrod season pass without getting out and just standing among those plants. They are terrific, and yes, they are native. We got about a dozen kinds, and most of them are in bloom right now. Same way with asters, mostly white and purplish, but there's a lot of those out there, as well as the sunflowers. This is a terrific time to see the late summer wildflowers. You can add a few more to that list, like blazing star and bergamot and jewelweed and pearly everlasting, so there's much going on. There's also starting to get some leaf color showing up. I saw it in a couple of trees this week, and as we get further along and get towards September, we're going to see a lot more of it. We also might see a lot more of acorns. Acorns are pretty good this year in our particular neighborhood. And yes, we still have an abundance of mushrooms, and they're always worth going out and taking a look at. I think every day that I walk, I see a new kind of mushroom that I did not see the day before, and they... Ah, Lisa, it's a terrific time. So welcome back, and get out and take a look.
Larry, one of the things that I did while I was gone last week is I, of course, drove my familiar and cherished route through the prairie a little bit. It's kind of prairie pothole. It drove along through the prairies and the sloughs and saw and photographed my very first green heron.
Oh, very good.
Really
wonderful.
Excited about that. Yeah. And saw a great blue heron standing with a mother wood duck and her little fluffy wood ducks underneath. And
oh my gosh.
Mentioned this to Laura Erickson, and Laura said, oh, I hope everything's okay, because apparently herons and baby wood ducks are a really bad combination. And I thought,
I think I understand it.
Yeah, and I just, oh, no, 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 no. But here's the thing that really, really troubled me. I'm taking photographs of beautiful butterflies. I find and identify my first painted lady. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, good.
And
good.
Photographed it. I photographed, I think, a cabbage white, but when it opened up its wings, it was blue. It was pale blue.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there are several species of butterflies. They belong to a group called blues, and there are several species of them that have white underside of the wings, and they frequently sit with the wings folded, therefore you see the white.
Right.
And if, however, they open up their wings, you will see blue in the inside. There's a number of species of them. I'd have to know more about it.
I will send you the photograph. I will
send
you that photograph, because the spots look very similar to the cabbage white. Just want to mention also that Facebook has some incredible groups for... There is a dedicated Duluth phenology group that has just been recently kind of reformed with a strict emphasis on just phenology. There is the Duluth Nature Notes page where you can submit photographs and you can talk about things that you see. There's a dragonflies page that's incredible. I think there's probably a couple of butterfly pages. So there are some there's Minnesota wildflowers, I believe. So there are all kinds of great resources online to help you find pictures or submit your, you know, if Larry's not handy, you can always, of course, write to me. And I think, as a matter of fact, you should have gotten an email that I forwarded to you last week from a listener that had a question.
Yes.
You can always write to me, and I will forward that stuff to Larry. But if he's not available, Facebook's got some great resources out there for
there
folks.
That's what's one of the beautiful things of modern technology, besides the digital camera. There is also this communication that goes on, and there is a great deal of knowledge among people around, and they have they're always willing to share it, and I think it's just terrific. I have never seen a better time to be a nature observer than what we have right now. So, yeah, get out there and enjoy it. It is terrific.
All right. Thanks a million, Larry.
Take care.
Larry Weber this morning, our host for Backyard Almanac, a regular feature of Fridays right here on 103.3 KUMD.